My experience with the whole OCR, the obstacle course racing, is you get a lot of people that come out to these things and they relate the obstacle courses to their everyday lives. So the obstacles you face out there on the course, they're pretty daunting. And some are more difficult than others, but it's a challenge for everybody. Now, the obstacles you overcome there, you tend to take with you outside of the race.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. It's Thursday, which means we've got another interview with a compelling individual from the world of health and fitness. My guest today is a petty officer third class in the United States Navy, an obstacle course racer, and an Operation Enduring Warrior team athlete. I'm excited to welcome Kyle Alexander to the Addicted to Fitness podcast. What's going on, Kyle?
What's going on, brother? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to do this. We tried just a little behind-the-scenes action for all the listeners. We tried this last week. We had some technical difficulties on both our ends, so I'm glad we were able to nail this down. And it's actually right before you move down to Tampa, correct?
Correct.
That's good. Now, you're coming down here for work or for basically kind of just to get a change of location and start pursuing your passions down here?
Well, a little bit of everything. There's some great schools down there for exercise science programs, which I'm pursuing. And, I mean, the fitness industry is huge down in Tampa, so I'm really looking to kind of like delve further into it. Plus, right. You can't complain with the weather.
That is absolutely true. And one thing I actually saw in between the last week or so when we had to reschedule is that you went to the Arnold Classic recently?
That is correct. It was an awesome experience. My first time going, but just... You know, the fitness community there is just insane.
What did you compete, or was it just as a spectator?
Oh, just a spectator, just checking everything out. And, I did get a chance to check out some of the strongman competition. And, like, the weight that these people put up is just phenomenal. It's crazy. You can't even imagine doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's something, that's one of those things I would love to aspire to go to, and then even take the podcast there, too, because that would be an awesome, the amount of people there that are professionals in the industry, as you probably met and spoke to, was probably astronomical.
Mm-hmm. Now, oh, yeah, if you ever get the opportunity, definitely do it.
Yeah, that's something that's on the bucket list for sure. So what I want to do, we already kind of touched in, obviously, you're in love with health and fitness and another reason why you're on the podcast. But I wanted to kind of go back before that, and something that's obviously a huge part of your life is the military. And I want to know when you decided or what kind of event inspired you to join the military.
Well, growing up, I had a lot of really great role models in my family that served in the military, a lot of Navy in my family, one Vietnam vet, and just knowing like the caliber of men that they were kind of drove me to pursue that. And I've always kind of wanted to be somebody that was going to like make a difference, help people out, just be part of something greater. So it was just, the right pick for me at the time.
Now, did you do any tours overseas?
Yeah. So last year, I think it was. Yeah, last year, 2017, I was part of Operation Inherent Resolve. And that was where we, about an 8-month deployment, I think, something like that. And we got to hit some pretty interesting ports. I think we went to, is it Bahrain, Dubai, Israel, we went to Greece a couple times, and we finished up with Britain.
Nice. And so obviously you're in the United States Navy. You were aboard a ship the majority or the during that time?
Yep, I was on the USS George Washington, or not Washington, sorry, the Bush. I was on the Bush, and that's a CVN 77. That's a carrier.
Okay, awesome. Now, one thing I wanted to kind of ask you about, obviously, you've got the family background in the military, and I want to relate it to fitness. What type of workout regimen were you able to maintain while on deployment?
So the civil or the like the places to work out, the facilities are kind of limited on the ship. So and there's just so many people. I think there's like 6,000 people on board the ship at one time. So it's really just whatever you can do at the time. They got weights and free weights and everything. I unfortunately had to suffer with legs a little bit. I figured out that it's not the greatest idea to try and squat heavy on the boat because the boat rocks. So I almost like threw my back out one time. So I had to, take it easy on legs for a little while. But they do have classes available that a lot of people participate in, like CrossFit, stuff like that. But it's more difficult for the maintenance people to get into there because usually working during those times. But I would definitely say working out was like a huge part of my life on deployment. It definitely kept me sane doing all that.
Right, and that was one thing. I know I have a couple friends that are in the military that are deployed overseas, and it seems like CrossFit is pretty popular among the military members of the military. And like it sounds like you said, they actually offer classes there. And you are on a carrier, but I know the other ones. Some of my friends are in the Army, so they have classes there. Do you think there's a part of? I know you said you couldn't attend as much, but is there a part of CrossFit that really appeals to the military members?
Well, yeah, I think so. 'Cause, so CrossFit, you're generally getting more of that functional workout. So it's more applicable a lot of times to what you're generally doing in the military. Maintenance people, you're lifting up a lot of heavy equipment, really awkward positions a lot of times. People that are in combat roles, obviously you got to be like pretty active, and be able to perform. So CrossFit generally hits that niche. You'll see a lot of like spec ops people, like special warfare people, tend to do CrossFit. At least on our ship, they're generally ones that were leading the CrossFit classes.
Gotcha. And what would you think a lot of, because my experience with CrossFit, like you said, we've got the functional training, but also it seems like there's more of an element of competition in the CrossFit workouts than to, a traditional gym workout that you might build for yourself. But when you got a group in there, you got your WOD, your workout of the day, it seems like there's a little bit more of the competition, which I feel might appeal more to people when they're on deployment and they're in the military trying to stay sharp.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you got an entire classroom full of people and everybody's trying to complete that WOD first, then yeah, that's definitely. And military people are generally pretty competitive, so
Oh,
I'd
yeah.
agree.
Now, there's one aspect of obviously we talked about the fitness. Now, as if somebody looks at your Instagram handle, which is what's your Instagram again, Kyle?
It's Kyle underscore Donald underscore Alexander.
Right. If they look at that, they'll see that you are really active in obstacle course racing. Now, how did that, obviously being on the carrier, like you said, you didn't have a lot of time to, do a lot of legs, and racing involves a lot of legs. Where did you get introduced to that? How'd you get introduced to that?
So I think the first thing that I ran was like 2015, I believe. I ran a Rugged Maniac, and it was really fun. I had a great time. It was just a sprint, and a friend had introduced me to that, and I fell off of it for a while. Like I think I did like maybe two or something like that, and then I fell off of it for a while. And then a friend of mine convinced me to go to a Spartan, which I knew Spartan was like a little bit more intense, so I was kind of hesitant, and I had a great time. It was a blast. Luckily, I had time in between deployment and that race to train my legs a little bit because legs are a huge part of OCR. You got to have strong legs and core to make it through those courses. But yeah, I've been in love with it ever since.
How many races have you done? Do you know offhand?
I mean, not too many. I think like five or something like that. Now that I'm working with OEW a little bit more, I'll definitely be doing a lot more. Like I think I already have like five or six scheduled for this year.
Wow. And then OEW is Operation Enduring Warrior, which I definitely want to talk to you about in a few minutes. With the obstacle course races, you've done the Spartan race. Have you had any other, like, Do you have anything to compare to the Spartan? Have you done Warrior Dash or Tough Mudder or anything yet?
I haven't done a Warrior Dash or a Tough Mudder. I have done a Green Beret Challenge, and that was cool too. That was so Spartan is such like a huge organization. They're really, really successful all over the world. So they tend to like bring in a lot more obstacles, and you know, they have the capability to do something like that. Whereas Green Beret, it was kind of interesting. It's a little bit smaller, but with them, they generally build all their obstacles on course, so it has a little bit more of that like natural, like rugged feel. As far as like the Rugged Maniac, that again is a little bit smaller. It's definitely not easy by any means, but they definitely incorporate like a lot more mud generally. But every Spartan race is different, so it depends on where you go.
Right. Now, was the Green Beret, is that exclusively for military, or is that type of the company is called Green Beret and they offer it to everyone?
Absolutely, yeah. They offer it to everybody. Okay. Yeah, it's that's the name of the company that holds it. It's a little bit smaller, like I said, so you might have to travel a little bit. They're not everywhere, but it's definitely worth checking out.
It's amazing to see how popular those have become in the recent, probably less the last 5 years. I mean, I remember recently I saw, gosh, what is it? There's like a some sort of a frog, like the frog something.
Oh, yeah, the Bone Frog. That's the Navy SEAL inspired one.
Yeah, and I think they were a sponsor of a bowl game, like a college football bowl game. And it's like, it's becoming so popular now. And then, like you said, Spartan races, Tough Mudder is a huge industry, or not a huge race, or, you know, has a lot of backing behind them. And it's amazing to me. I love to think about the psychology, and I know there's already been books written about it, why people are drawn to that. And that's something I want to get within with you, obviously, with your military background and OEW. But I wanted to ask you real quick before we get into that is, if you had one obstacle that you never want to see again on the obstacle course, can you name it right now?
So I would have to say they had a pit, and the pit had a post on both sides with a rope attached going across, and you pretty much had to like shimmy your way across the top of this thing and balance yourself. And basically anything involving balance, I don't do well. So I fell off this thing like at least 8 times. Really, anything involving balance, I don't do well with.
Yeah. Now, and obviously, you have you got to do any of the cold or the ice plunges yet?
Thankfully, no. However, I do see one coming up in the near future, especially considering I hate cold. So I'm pretty sure it's just going to be karma for me.
Yeah, that's. I had to do that during the Tough Mudder, and honestly, they made you go completely under. It wasn't just wading through. They had a board. You had to go underneath, so you had to be completely submerged. And it was definitely brisk. So get ready for that.
Now, awesome.
And one thing, obviously, I want to kind of get into. We've mentioned it a couple times already. Is Operation Enduring Warrior. I'd love for you to. I know you're a team athlete, and I'd love for you to explain what that is.
Operation Enduring Warrior is a veteran-founded nonprofit organization. Essentially, they offer rehabilitative programs that kind of challenge you physically, mentally, emotionally to overcome obstacles that you didn't necessarily think that you could take on before. It's really great. Honestly, a lot of the people that I've met going through this organization just feel so passionately about the mission of OEW, and it is 100% nonprofit, so everybody's putting in like 100% of their time and not getting anything for it as far as like money wise. And it's just like the stuff that they do is really amazing. As far as like the team athlete, so they have a group that goes through obstacle courses and assist wounded veterans in overcoming certain obstacles. Their main thing is empowering. So they're not really helping them over every obstacle, like, you know, doing it for them. but they're making sure that they're going through it safely. And they have a team that goes through. So they have like a team. You have to apply to get onto this team. And once you make it on, essentially you get picked for certain races, and you get assigned a certain adaptive athlete. Yeah, so that's essentially what they do.
Now, so you're assigned to a specific athlete, another wounded veteran. Now, did you have to apply for this and get approved and everything like that?
Yeah. So they have to get onto the athletic team. First and foremost, you have to be a veteran, and they also want you to be what they call an OCA, which is an OEW Community Ambassador. These are really the backbone of OEW. They're the people that are getting out there and spreading the word about what OEW does, and it is a really good, great idea to become an OCA before the team. That way you get really familiarized with what the organization does. But after all that, you send in a package to them, and if they approve it, then you're moved on to the next phase. And the whole process lasts almost a year, really. It's a really long process for good reason too. You're essentially given a lot of responsibility within the organization, so there has to be a certain level of trust there for OEW equipment, finances, things like that. And also, most importantly, you're responsible for the adaptive athlete. So you know you can't just let anybody into this thing and, you know, be like, here's an adaptive athlete, we trust you, you know. So I think that's what really separates OEW from the rest of a lot of these organizations is the application process to get into the group.
Wow, that's great. And I mean, I imagine how rewarding that is for both people involved, you I'm sorry, what was the term you referred to it? The adaptive athlete? Was that it?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So I imagine kind of the synergistic relationship that you have between you and your athlete is probably so beneficial. And the fact that they're using veterans to help veterans is probably a great kind of just the way they structure it is perfect because, as we talked before last week, kind of the emotional state and the kind of the psychological state of veterans when they come back after deployment is really an issue right now. We're seeing it being an issue more and more with, sadly, the high rate of suicide among veterans. So I want to know what your feelings are and how kind of this organization, Operation Enduring Warrior specifically, can help, you know, contribute to maybe, you know, driving down that statistic.
So it's, you know, obviously no secret that mental health is a major issue in the United States. Everybody knows this. Now, my issue with the whole thing is how taboo the topic is. The words depression and suicide instantly make people feel uncomfortable, and it's one of those topics that nobody ever really wants to touch. And I completely relate. Like, I used to be the person that would like shun every time that topic came up, and it was hard for me to share my story when it came to that. But I think that if more people did share their story, that people would realize that this type of thing happens to everybody. I mean, the statistics speak for it. You talked a little bit about statistics, like 1 in 5 American adults experience mental illness in a given year. It's like, I think the number is like 44 million or something like that a year experience some kind of mental illness, whether it's like depression or whatever. And obviously it's a huge issue because I think suicide's like the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. And of that, I mean, they have the statistic. I think it's like 22 veterans take their lives every single day.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a huge, huge issue. And my experience with the whole OCR, the obstacle course racing, is you get a lot of people that come out to these things and they relate the obstacle courses to their everyday lives. So the obstacles you face out there on the course, they're pretty daunting. And some are more difficult than others, but, you know, it's a challenge for everybody. Now, the obstacles you overcome there, you tend to take with you outside of the race. And you overcome things that you previously didn't think that you could. And it's something that everybody can kind of relate to, you know. Whether you're a veteran or you're a civilian, everybody faces obstacles. And it's up to you to realize that, you know, I'm not going to be a victim of these challenges that come my way. I'm going to overcome them. I'm going to continue my life. And that's generally the thing that I tend to see when I'm out there on the course and I see people overcome these challenges.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it was so well said. I'm glad the way you put it was perfectly, is that, and we talked about the kind of the psychology behind why so many people are attracted to obstacle course racing, is that it, you know, we need those challenges. Unfortunately, especially here in the United States, we don't have those type of challenges in everyday life. And we seem to get a little bit more, I think it's, you know, like you said, some of those mental health aspects like depression and anxiety can creep in and be more and more prevalent and more, have more of an impact on us when we don't have those obstacles, tangible obstacles, but also everyday obstacles, when we're not overcoming them. When we don't learn how to overcome them, then we don't know how to overcome things like depression, anxiety when they happen. So mm-hmm. I'm glad the way you put it was perfectly. And I think helping veterans, you know, you are a veteran helping veterans, but that is such a awesome type of mission and goal. And the Operation Enduring Warrior is such a very a noble cause that I think everybody should support it. And luckily, people can support it, correct?
That's correct. All you got to do is just go onto our website, and they have a big donate button. It's really easy to navigate. If you would like to go further past just like a monetary donation, you can, like I said, become an OCA, and you can click on, I believe there's an events tab too. If not, you can always go onto our Facebook page and click on events and find one local to you and just show up and meet everybody, see how you can help. We're always looking for new faces.
Do you know of any Operation Enduring Warrior races coming towards the Tampa area?
I actually had a list of the courses. I don't think that there's any coming up for that specific area. I do think that actually we have a Go Ruck event coming up. I think it might be for the Tallahassee area for the national, the National Capital Go Ruck Tour. They're trying to hit all the capital cities. But I'm trying to talk the person that's setting that up into putting in the Tampa area, because I will actually be leading that event.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and you come down here, and we'll definitely get I'd love to join in. I don't know if you said, you know, civilians are allowed in too?
Absolutely. All these events, civilians are allowed into. There's not too many obstacle courses that they're not going to let civilians into. Like I said, I do know, because I recently just did a Spartan event in Central Florida. I don't even recall where it was. I think it was to the east of Tampa. I forget. It was like on some farm or something like that. It was a really great event. And some OEW people do show up to that. It all depends on where OEW decides that they would like to go, because obviously, you know, there's a lot of races all over the United States, and you can only afford to go to so many.
Yeah. No, I understand. No, and you guys, the website for OEW is enduringwarrior.org, correct?
That's correct.
Enduringwarrior.org. We'll put this all on the show notes for this episode, guys. So everybody listening can go to that website. And like Kyle said, there's a big donate button right on the homepage. So if you guys want to donate to this awesome program, this awesome organization, you can. But you can also, I'm sure you can find a list of events that they'll be having in your area. Maybe you guys can go out there and support them in person, which would be an awesome thing to do.
Absolutely.
Now, Kyle, I really appreciate you joining me today. I know we had some technical difficulties, but we got it done. So I'm so happy that we did. Let them know one more time. I know I just mentioned the website, but how anybody can kind of follow you, follow Operation Enduring Warrior. Just go ahead and throw out some websites or any type of handles you want to. And so I want people to kind of follow your story.
Absolutely. You can find OEW either on Facebook or Instagram. Their name is just Operation Enduring Warrior on both of those. If you want to go to the website, it's enduringwarrior.org. Like I said, they do really well with all of their sites. It's really easy to navigate, and they're very, very responsive too. So if you do want to find out how you can get a little bit more involved, all you got to do is just message one of those platforms. And like I said, they usually reply like that day, if not within the hour. And, you know, super friendly people. Like I said, check out their events page, find out what local events are around you, and just show up. I mean, that's what I did. I just showed up and everybody was really welcoming. I promise if you show up to one event, you'll get hooked. You'll definitely want to come back to more. If you want to follow me, my Instagram is Kyle_Donald_Alexander. I'm always posting about OEW stuff. So if you want to learn about their stuff off of that, that's awesome. And I definitely recommend to those who haven't gotten a chance to do an obstacle course and you're on the edge, you're thinking about it, definitely go check it out. It's a really great community. And the great thing that I love about it is that, you know, there's like, they're so welcoming of people from every single level of fitness. So you don't have to think like, oh, you know, I got to get ready for this thing. Like, yeah, be a little bit prepared, but like, trust me, they'll help you through the course if you need the help. It's a really, really awesome set of people that run those things.
Yeah, I agree. I've been to several myself, and like you said, it's a community in itself that you didn't even know you belonged to. The second you get on the course, people are helping you over obstacles and everything like that. So it's a great, not only physical activity, but also, you know, it's good for your mental aspect of fitness. So, Kyle, absolutely. I really appreciate you coming on today. I know you're going to be in Tampa soon, so hopefully in the future I'll have you on. We can do this face to face and have you on for the next for your next time on the Addicted to Fitness podcast.
Oh, I would love it. Thank you again for having me.
All right, thanks again, Kyle.
All right, take care, man.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.